Hi, this is Paul Winters, head football coach at Wayne State University, Warrior Football, and I'm doing the first ever Wayne State Warrior Football podcast. We're very excited about this podcast, and we're very excited about the possibility of putting out for bid the naming rights so that we can make a little money for Wayne State and also name this thing so that everybody can find it on Spotify and Apple Music and all the other things. So join in and join in on the fun. I'm going to start off talking about our last game against Quincy down in Quincy, Illinois. It was a road trip, our second road trip in 2 weeks that went over 9 hours. We are the road warriors again from all the travels that we have, but it's amazing. It's been an amazing season so far. Obviously, we started off with the number 10 team in the country, and that didn't go as well as we liked, but we did some great things from an offensive standpoint. And then we went down on a 12-hour jaunt to Kirksville, Missouri to play Truman State, and they have actually gone undefeated and beaten two Division I schools and our game, so two very good teams to start the season. Week three, we go down to Quincy and play another undefeated team, our third undefeated team in a row. And this time, we came out to a really fast start. We have a young man at wide receiver by the name of Darice Roberson, who is extremely explosive. So we started off the game with a reverse. And Darice broke it for about 35 yards and kind of set the tone for the entire game. We were very aggressive offensively. We threw the ball to Darice a couple times for long gains. And we were able to get our first lead of the season, 3-0. The first drive bogged down, and we made a couple mistakes. But we kicked a field goal with our freshman field goal kicker, Nicola Cielo. And he did a fantastic job for us. After that, the defense came up. And when you talk about this season, you really have to talk about the defense. The defense started off the season really, I'd say, cold, playing against a really good football team. We weren't able to get a lot of stops early. And then the second week, the defense played considerably better, and the offense struggled. And but this week, the defense played as well as you can possibly play. Our defense played against a team that plays a no-huddle, speeded-up offense and averages over 90 plays a game. Our defense came out and held them to 65 plays and basically 110 yards or 115 yards total for the game, 1.2 yards per carry. That is great defense, and we're very excited about that. And that's, you know, when you talk about why you win, well, if you play great defense, you're going to win football games. So we're really making improvements in that area. And there's some guys on the defense that I need to name because they did a fantastic job. Jalen Lewis, who was our defensive player of the game, and I think he was the Wayne State athletic department hustler of the week.
Hardest working warrior
of the week. Thank you. And he did a fantastic job for us. He had a sack. He had a couple of solo tackles, tackles for loss. And he was just, you know, a mainstay in the front, along with Damani Green, defensive tackle, who had tremendous penetration up front on the center and guard. They really struggled handling him. But the whole defensive front, I think we played 8 guys up front for the most part, and they all played extremely well. So I'd love to mention all of them, and all of them deserve mention, but we only have an hour or so on this podcast, so we're going to try not to mention everybody. Actually, we'll try to mention everybody. But anyway, those guys were outstanding. At linebacker, Ryan Smith and Leon Eggleston have given us tremendous senior leadership, and they did that again, and we're very excited about that. And we had some young guys that are getting to play in the secondary a little bit, so we're mixing the youth and the veterans, and we got that defense going. But let's go back to the offense. The offense, for the second time in 3 weeks, had over 500 yards of total offense. There's probably seasons that have gone by where we never got 500 yards in one game. We've played three games, and we have gotten 500 yards or more twice. So that's a positive sign. We were able to run the football and control the football. And just, you know, kind of give you an insight to a coach's mind, we're playing against a team that runs a high-velocity offense that has had great success this year, and they're averaging a play every 15 seconds on offense. It's amazing. When you're playing a team like that, your thought process as a coach has to be, we need to control the football. We need to keep our defense off the field because they can wear out at that tempo. And also, if you can take a team like that and put them on the sidelines, they get a little frustrated and they start to press. And as you know, college students that start to press make mistakes. And I think that was a big part of our plan. So as you look at the statistics for the game, it kind of worked out that we had the ball for 42 minutes while they had the ball for 18 minutes. And that's how you win. And that helps the defense. The defense isn't on the field. They can't get yards. They can't get points. So, you know, we got out to a 10-0 lead. They did have one good drive where we had five penalties. And I guess you call that a good drive, but, you know, we actually had more penalty yards than they had total yards. So that was a big part of that. But they made it 10-7. But we came back and shut them out the rest of the game and offensively got a couple touchdowns and one with 10 seconds to go in the half to make the score 31-7 at halftime. So after that, you're looking to keep them off the field. You're looking to play really solid offense, slow it down a little bit, just, you know, make it a little boring, but winning is never boring. So that was the plan, and I think our guys handled it very well. Special note from an offensive standpoint, the guys up front, and they never get mentioned, but Landon Mitchell, Lane Potter on the left side, tackle and guard, have been dominant, I think, in three games now, and they were outstanding. Charlie Younger and Reed Thompson at center were both outstanding. At times we did some things that were a little rough, but we had the rain delay that actually it was a lightning delay that hurt us just from a ball handling standpoint for a little bit, but they did a fantastic job. And Adam McJunkin, I think, was our offensive player of the game, the right guard. Adam was dominant. A matter of fact, just as a side note, when I announced to the team that Adam was the offensive player of the game, they were extremely excited for him. The guys were, you know, very excited that he received recognition because we don't talk about him enough. And we also talked about the possibility that the things he was doing to people on the field probably are illegal in most states because he was really being physical and just throwing people around, and it was outstanding. And Ian Sharp and Joe Zetas have stepped in, and they're competing very well at the right tackle spot. So that's the offensive line. They did a fantastic job, made plays for the running backs. They protected the quarterback extremely well. And again, I want to give them as much publicity as possible. So that's kind of the wrap up of the Quincy game. And for us to go out that long of a road trip and get a big win, you have no idea how much that helps these young men. It helps us as coaches. You want to talk about improving the mental health of a program? That improved the mental health of this program. So we're very excited about that.
So in the meantime, Coach, we've got a couple of questions for you. You know, you gave the wrap up. You said, you know, the mental health and how it's, you know, your guys are coming off a road win, big road win, and coming back home. How much of a difference does it make coming back home to Tom Adams Field? I mean, on game day, on the 28th, we have Star Wars night. the Alumni Association's having a big tailgate that's sponsored by Ford. We had the first game, you had fireworks, there were 4,000 fans, about 1,000 students in the stands. How much of an impact does that have on you on game day?
That's a great question, Maggie. I think that to look forward about that and talk about that, you have to kind of look back at the Slippery Rock game and look at the crowd and the effect that it had on us and just the feeling that you have in the stands. We had over 1,000 students, and they were loud and proud. And you talk about a collegiate atmosphere, it was fantastic. And it makes a huge difference. Our students, they showed that warrior pride, and you love that. It was overwhelming, to say the least. And that is big for us. I think, as I look back at my tenure and the most fun games I've had coaching, we've had tremendous student crowds, the young kids just get into it. And every play that our guys make, you hear the crowd getting into it, and our guys get into it when the crowd gets into it, and it just carries over. But you know, the more enthusiastic the crowd, the better for the home team, and I think that's universal. We hope that all the different things going on appeals to people. You know, it's Star Wars night. I mean, how can it get better than Star Wars night? Star Wars is the most popular movie ever, or the most popular, what do they call it?
A series
or whatever you call it. People love it, and people for decades have loved it. So whether you're young or old, you need to come out to the game on Saturday, 6 p.m., yeah. September 28th.
There's actually going to be a costume contest, so you might have, there's going to be lightsabers in the crowd.
It's a Star Wars costume contest,
yes.
Right?
Yes, so you're going to have Star Wars characters walking around, yes. The game, lightsabers.
Darth Vader. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And you know what? That's what college is all about. I think that people don't understand how much fun it is here at Wayne State. And on a Saturday night in that stadium, it's always the most fun anywhere. So, come on out. It's worth the investment of time. Let's talk about the team that we're going to play on Saturday night, because I know that there's an interest there because it's an in-state rival. One of the things that we talk about in our in-state is that every school is our rival because everybody, for whatever reason, hates us. And we don't do anything to cause it, but, you know, people just, they have us as their red letter game or whatever because they want to beat Wayne State. I think it has something to do with we just have a better school than anyone else, and people get upset about that. And you get a better education, you get better jobs, you have more fun on the campus, and, you know, it's just a better place.
Yeah. In the city of Detroit.
You're in Detroit. You're in Midtown. You've got all the advantages of the Tigers. You can go down to the Tigers game within walking distance. You can go to Lions. The Pistons are even closer. They're right next to our business school. It's an unbelievable place to go to school and to play football. And I know it sounds like a recruiting, but anyway, let's talk about the game. So this week we're playing the number 25 team in the country, Saginaw Valley State University. Very interesting. I don't know how this happens, but we are playing the fourth undefeated team in a row. And I will just say thank you, Jeff Weiss, for your creative scheduling. And
I actually was talking to Jeff Weiss, kind of trying to prepare for this, and I think he said that it would be likely that we have these hardest or the number one in strength of schedule this year, and that's after like number six last year. So he made it even harder for you after that.
You know what? That just Jeff showing tremendous faith in my ability by giving me a harder schedule every year. But this one might be the topper. But that's okay because as you look at our football team, they have a great attitude. They're growing together. You know, the scores didn't work out in the first two games, but it was more us than them beating on us. It was us making mistakes that you can't make against good football teams. So now we play Saginaw Valley State, and you know, we talk about what it's going to take to beat them. They're a very good football team. I think when you start talking about them, you talk about some of their offensive weapons, their quarterback, their running back, their wide receiver. Those are three of the best football players in the league. They have a veteran offensive line. They have a very good offense. They have a very good defense. They have a defensive tackle that's an All-American candidate. They have a good secondary, solid linebacking crew. They've really kind of dominated their first three games and have had great success. So it's a challenge coming in. We're looking at it as, like I said, it's a rivalry game. It's a game that, we played them last year. It was different coaching staff, but we had the game pretty much in hand in the first half, and we did some things that cost us the game in the second half. But even at that point, we got the game to where we had the ball on the 15-yard line with 3 seconds to go, and we're in the middle of the field, kick a field goal, win the game, run out of there and feel good about yourself. And we weren't able to do that. It went into overtime, and we weren't able to hold on. But that just obviously, it gives us confidence to know that, okay, they're coming back at our place. We need to, fix it and put ourselves over the top. But we also know that it's going to be a hard-fought game. And like I said, they're ready. It's a game that they're playing against their rival. We're playing against our rival. The best football that you can want to watch. You come to our games, and this will be our second home game. We played the number 10 team in the country, now the number 25 team in the country. And we're waiting to get ranked at the end of the season. So ideally, we've got to go out and win some football games to make that happen. So this is a good football team. We talked about how we're going to beat them. What do we have to do to beat them? From a defensive standpoint, we've got to stop those guys. I talked about the quarterback, the running back, the wide receiver. They're great players. We have to find ways to control those guys, contain those guys. The wide receiver is probably as big a play guy as there is in the league, and that includes Darius Roberson, who's an extremely big play guy and has made big plays for us. But you know what? We've got good corners, and I didn't talk about them yet, but Greg McDade and Myron Riley, I have a lot of confidence in those two guys. And I'm not saying that they're just going to step up and stop a great wide receiver, but I think that they're going to put us in a position where we can compete against a great wide receiver. And that's really all you can ask for. But we have a fifth-year senior safety in Kyle Toth, who is going to help those guys over the top, and a young Tyler Houston who has done really good things for us and kind of rounds out our secondary. So that's a big part of stopping them, playing great defense, limiting big plays. From a defensive standpoint, I talked earlier about Jalen Lewis, and he's got to do a great job along with the rest of the front, Sean Banaszak and Terry Sanders, Damani Green, all those guys of getting a good pass rush and getting a good push in the run game to limit their running back at opportunities and to get after their quarterback a little bit. So if you look back at the game afterwards, you'll say, either the defensive line did a fantastic job and put us over the top, or we came up a little bit short because we weren't able to pressure the quarterback. So that'll be a big part of it. And I'm not putting it all on the defense, because we have two other phases. Our kicking game, outstanding so far. We need to be better in our returns, but outstanding so far. And then our offense, which I said before, has two games over 500 yards. So that's kind of I don't like to give away too much Talking about the other team, I'd rather talk about our team. But that's a little bit about Saginaw Valley.
You mentioned Ryan Smith. You mentioned Leon Eggleston and the leadership that your captains have. And you have a large senior class this year. How does that impact the locker room and on the field and their leadership so far?
Yeah, the senior class is outstanding. I think we have more than 15, between 15 and 20.
Yeah.
We've had these guys for 4 and 5 years, and in one case, 6 years with Deontay Nicholas, who's a 3-time captain. So the leadership has been outstanding. I think, like I said, when you start, go back to the camp, training camp, the attitude of the football team was outstanding. I mean, just, you know, they had the right chip on their shoulder that you want. They had the closeness that you pray for, the family atmosphere. And I think it really starts with the leaders, and I should say the seniors, because they've been through the program. They've been through the ups and downs. They were part of one of the best teams that we've had in 2016, and they've obviously been a part of a recent struggle. So they know kind of what it takes to be successful. Deontay Nicholas obviously has experienced everything. He steps up front first. But Kyle Toth, who's a 2-time captain, and Charlie Younger, who's a 2-time captain, are two guys who, you know, they're graduating here into this semester. They're gone from being boys to young men. They understand that we talk about a lot of different things that are really, you know, kind of focus your attitude in the right direction. PMA, positive mental attitude. And I could go for the next half hour and talk about PMA. I won't. But we can do a PMA podcast if I can get Coach Dennison and Coach D'Antonio and some of the other coaches that I've worked with that are PMA guys. That'll be the next one.
Okay.
Anyway, we talk about above the line behavior and really below the line behavior. Above the line behavior really talks about accepting responsibility for your actions and not blaming others and denying and those kind of things. So our guys know it, and they pass it along to the other guys. And so, like I said, this group has been fantastic teaching attitude and teaching accountability and the things that we talk about, discipline, to the younger guys, and I think that's carrying over to the football field.
So one of the things that you've kind of talked about is strength of schedule, but looking through the notes that Jeff Weiss gave me, you guys had are first in rushing in the GLIAC and first in time of possession for the game. And so you mentioned that kind of against Quincy, how having the ball, Quincy only having the ball for 18 minutes was huge. Is that something that...
I know what you're asking.
Okay.
That is who we are.
Yeah.
We are a team that has the ability to run the football. We feel like we have the ability to run the football every week. It starts with our offensive line. I mentioned all those guys. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah.
But they take a lot of pride. And I should mention Coach Wooster, Scott Wooster, who coordinates our run game, who coaches the offensive line, and he is the one who starts that attitude, that toughness that you look for up front. And he leads them, and they talk about the fist. You know, there's five of them, and they're all very important part of that fist. So we are going to be a physical football team. We take pride in being a physical football team. And you know what? With college football today and NFL football today and even high school football today, people talk about, you know, you've got to make practice easier so you don't have as much hitting. You have to kind of take it easy on the guys because you don't want to hurt anybody. And the fact is, we don't take it easy on the guys. We don't do anything to harm our players, but we are working to make our players tough. And the fact is, college football is a physical football game. And if you don't understand that, you can't play it. And I think everybody here in this program understands that we want to be physical. We want to be the most physical football team on the field. And that means you have to be able to run the ball. And that doesn't mean you run it all the time. It just means that if you're a good football team, you can run play action, you can throw the football, and you can score touchdowns and get a lead. And then when the other team's trying to come back, you're able to control the ball on the ground and move it. And we've been able to do that. And that first game we were behind, playing from behind, we were able to mix it up and get over 500 yards of offense and 37 points. And that was just the abilities of Darice Roberson and Dakota Cup at quarterback and James Hill at running back. And now having Deontay Nicholas back is a big deal for our offense. And Dante McClure and King Sanders, a young running back, a freshman who has had really some outstanding play and will get more and more time.
Perfect. Just if you want to talk about the success of the players that have has gone past college. So, you know, you have Joy Cabell, you have Nate Baker, you have Anthony Pittman, who is going to the Lions.
You've got them all. I don't have to say anything.
There
you've mentioned them all.
But, you know, you've had success. You know, it's extended past the season. And how does that work with you?
Well, I think that impacts the players here because everybody – you know, if you play college football, you love the opportunity to play NFL. Not everybody, but most guys who are having success want that opportunity or at least dream about it a little bit. Joy Bell was probably the one that you know, jumped out and had a great career, had a second contract. In the NFL, your second contract that's where you make your money. So he got that second contract and made pretty good money. And, you know, the thing that really makes me proud when I talk about Joik is not only was he a great football player, he was a Harlan Hill Award winner as the best player in Division II football, but he also earned a master's degree at Wayne State, you know. So he's not just what you call a jock. He's a guy who he has a vision of his future. He took care of his business while he was here playing. He took care of his business while he was playing for the Detroit Lions. And he's still, you know, he's a very intelligent young man who has good business sense and is taking care of his business now as a retired NFL player. And I shouldn't say he's retired because I don't know if he's filed his retirement papers. And I still think if he wanted to play, he could go out there and rush for 100 yards for the Lions if they'd allow him the opportunity. So he's the guy who got it started. Nate Thieker is a guy who also has done a good job. But even before Nate Thieker, and I don't know how many people know this, Jeremy Jones, who was one of our stars of the 2011 team that played for national championship, Jeremy Jones signed with the Chicago Bears after the draft and actually started in a couple preseason games. And in the first game, I think they played the Cleveland Browns, he was playing some as safety in the first game of his rookie year. Yeah, and nobody really, you know, people don't follow that close, but he ended up basically giving it up. He was like, you know what, I made it. I don't necessarily want to do this anymore. They were going to put him on the practice squad because they had a running back get hurt, and they had to add a running back, and so he was a safety that they were going to put on the practice squad. And he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to do that, so I'm done with it." In the meantime, that same year, Joe Long Our the Gene Upshaw Award winner as the best lineman in the country, was signed by the Steelers. And he was with the Steelers, and he was on the practice squad for the Lions when the Lions, I think they made the playoffs that year. And I was sitting around getting ready for recruiting that winter, and I got a text with a picture of Joe Long and Joik Bell sitting on the bus together. So that was pretty cool. Troy Burrell, who was 2011 team, was on that Lions summer camp team too. So it's so many. Most recently, Anthony Pittman, who had an outstanding career here as a captain. I think he was two-time captain, linebacker, all-league, first-team guy. Was a starter for the most part this summer for the Lions during the preseason, played the most snaps of almost anybody, and is on their practice squad now. So Anthony Pittman, I'd say, is just the most recent in a string of quality guys who have gone on to the NFL.
This will be our last question. Like I said, I'm filling in for the Twitter and emails that we'll get from, Joe from Toronto and vice versa. So.
I think it's Scott from Toronto.
There we go. So make sure to send us your questions. You can email them to athletics@wayne.edu. But, Coach, what are you looking forward to most on Saturday?
I'm looking forward to the crowd, the noise, the excitement, just competing on the collegiate level. There's nothing like standing there and this whistle's being blown for the opening kickoff and your heart's beating and the fans are screaming and you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you have an idea of what you want to happen and what you can control, but you can't control everything, and it's exciting as heck. That's all I can tell you. It's exciting as heck.
Perfect. Well, we'll see you, and that will be at Saturday, September 28th, 6 p.m. kickoff. Gates open at 4, Star Wars night, tailgating.
Star Wars night.
And we have the Warrior Walk at 3:45, which is a great tradition
That's a great thing for our kids. When they, and I call our kids, but our players will walk down Warren and get to the walkway to the stadium, and the band's there, the fans, their parents, the cheerleaders, everybody, and they're clapping for them and cheering for them and shaking their hands. And our guys are very professional in their suit and coat and tie, and we walk as a team, as a family, basically through campus down to the stadium. And it's a tradition that we're very proud of.
Well,